It is a great delight and a privilege to come back to this assembly after some years, and want to thank you for your love and your many prayers on our behalf. And now for our brief meditation, I would have you please turn to that very familiar passage from 1 Corinthians 11, and I would speak from that passage, particularly verse 28. 1 Corinthians 11, and I would begin reading from verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. I like to speak very briefly from verse 28 for our brief meditation, that we might be adequately prepared for this great privilege to partake of the Lord's table. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. First of all, the main point of the text. The main point is that before we take the Lord's Supper, we must search our hearts and our lives. In verses 24 and 25, we read that he, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me. Those words, in remembrance of me, have been repeated. That is, to remember and bring to our mind the inward and outward reasons of Christ's death. It was a substitutionary death. Sin-bearing death for me, for us, as if for no one else but for me. Verse 7 says that if anyone takes the Lord's Supper, look at the verse 27, Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Meaning that if anyone takes the Lord's Supper without proper and due self-search or self-examination, that person would be guilty of Christ's death, perhaps like Judas Iscariot. He had to die. But for those who would put their faith in him for mercy and grace that they might be forgiven. But if we partake of the Lord's Supper without proper and due self-examination and self-search, that person will be guilty of Christ's death. And verse 29 says, "For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Anyone who takes the Lord's Supper without due self-examination, or as we read here, in an unworthy manner, actually that person drinks judgment to himself. Meaning, that person ensures God's condemnation for himself or herself. It's frightening. So that is the heart of this necessity of searching our hearts and our lives as we prepare ourselves for the Lord's table. And then we read in verses 30 and following some terrible, frightening examples of the Lord's judgment in the Corinthian church for the sin of taking the Lord's Supper without due self-examination and self-search. We read in verse 30, "For this reason many are weak and sick among you." One can only think what that could mean. It's frightening. God does bring sickness among his people. He did that among the Corinthians. People talk about healing. Yeah, he heals, but he also puts you to bed, makes you sick and ill, strikes you with disease that makes you weak and sick. And some of the Corinthians were struck by the Lord's judgment in that way, and many were killed. But we read here that many sleep, because that's what a believer's death is. It's frightening. How awesome is the matter of self-examination. Let a man examine himself. So let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And then in verse 28, the question arises, how do you examine yourself when we are told we ought to examine ourselves before taking the Lord's Supper? Well, by asking ourselves certain questions, again in the light of the rest of the scriptures, and believe these questions that I would raise before us would help us once again to adequately prepare ourselves, asking these questions, ensuring that our answers are biblical. our answers are according to the scriptures. Our Lord says that in remembrance of me, bring to remembrance what happened some 2,000 years ago, as if you and I were there, and could witness the crucifixion with our very own eyes, and understood the inward and the outward reasons why he was crucified. May I submit some questions for all of us as we look forward to taking the Lord's Supper. First of all, or maybe I should put them more in a statement style, in order to understand that I should examine myself. First of all, that Christ died for my sins. Simple as it is. It was a substitutionary death on my behalf. In chapter 15, you don't have to open it. And verse 3, the substitutionary death of our Savior has been so beautifully stated there, particularly. But tonight, let each one of us say to himself or herself, Christ died for my behalf. The apostle says, for our behalf. That's true. Let's individualize it for or on my behalf. Here in our passage, 1 Corinthians 11, verses 24 and 25, in remembrance of me, remembering why the Lord was crucified for me, personally, individually. Secondly, to make sure that I am united to Christ in his death. To make sure that I am united to Christ in his death. We read in Romans 6 and 5. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Being united to Christ in his death. When he died, we died with him. When we rose again, we rose with him. Well, what does that mean? Well, Romans 6 is an answer, beautiful answer, what that means. It simply means, if I am united to Christ in his death, I should not be slave to any sin. I should not be slave to any sin. That's what it means to be united to Christ. Let us make sure. Because we have been set free from the slavery of death at the time of our conversion. In a very real sense, this is the gospel. This is the gospel that we preach in other places. It's universal. It's global. And then thirdly, let us make sure if we are to adequately examine ourselves before we partake of the Lord's table, that I am seeking to live an obedient life in the strength and power of my Savior. You know, it's difficult to live the Christian life. In every age, in every country, in every culture, it's been difficult. You know it's difficult. I know it is difficult. But let us make sure, in order to adequately examine ourselves, each one, that I am seeking to live an obedient life in the strength and in the power of Christ. Not perfectly, but generally and basically. In Philippians 4:13 we read the apostle saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Here's our great encouragement, isn't it? It's very difficult to overcome temptations and difficulties. In John 15:5, the Lord Jesus there ensures us that without me, you can do nothing. So when I say make sure that I'm seeking to live an obedient life in the strength and power of Christ, it means every aspect of my life. My personal life, my private life, my work life, family life, my church life. I am seeking to live an obedient life in the strength and in the power of Christ. And then, lastly, that I am seeking to be a faithful witness to Christ to the unregenerate around me. I am seeking to be a faithful witness to Christ to the unregenerate around me. Yes, our lifestyle should be a witness of Christ, that is true. But I'd like to submit to you that by specifically speaking to others, perhaps like that woman at the well, simple woman, and she had a wonderful encounter with the Savior. And all she went around saying was, come and see. That is, come and see the Messiah. She didn't go to any Bible college, didn't go to any seminary. And the whole village was converted. It's simple. That's what it means to be a faithful witness of Christ to the unregenerate around us. And certainly around us here, but our responsibility, we've been reminded through our various hymns tonight, that we have a responsibility to the outside world as well. What a privilege it is for you in this assembly, first of all, to consider this wonderful text. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. In closing, I want to remind you that it is a wonderful privilege. What a privilege you have to be part of this church, identifying with a local body of Christ. It's wonderful to see new members join. This is not something to be taken lightly. It's a great privilege. With it are many wonderful responsibilities. A child of God would gladly submit to fulfilling those responsibilities. You know, most people where we work, those converts, most of them have never known this privilege that you have. Some of our converts are in such isolated places. Others in such dangerous places. There's only one. Only one person washed in the blood of Christ. Never been with other believers. One of them we met from a neighboring country last month. Looking at his face, coming from the most dangerous place on earth possibly. And is there anyone else? He said, I don't know. We know there are other believers in that area. But few and far between, nothing like what you have here. What a delight, what a privilege, not only to gather Lord's Day after Lord's Day, but to now, very soon, ready to partake of the Lord's table. Many around the world don't have this privilege. This is a mandate from the Lord. We must do that. But I want you to appreciate, don't take it lightly. Because so many people around the world don't have this privilege. In fact, we must remind ourselves that in the New Testament, every true Christian should be part of a local church. It's not a matter of choice. It's a wonderful privilege. I thought these few questions would help us. They're so basic, nothing profound, nothing out of nowhere, but right from the scriptures, things that are so basic, and they are helpful in our self-examination. The Apostle Paul says, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Let us joyfully and gladly partake the due examination, the Lord's Supper. Amen.